Hey everyone, and welcome to yet another episode of the Irish Knicks Fan Podcast, where we talk about beer, basketball, and business, and not necessarily in that order. I'm your host, Brian Evers, so let's get right into it. On this episode, we're going to talk about how our guys are still red hot. We've won six of the last seven games, and if it wasn't for an excruciating loss against the Milwaukee Bucks on Monday night, we'd be talking about yet another prolonged winning streak for our beloved New York Knicks. And then in the second part of the podcast, once we've broken down a couple of those games, we're going to talk to you a little bit about the power of having a daily gratitude practice and the impact it can have on your life. So buckle up and let's go. So anytime you play the Milwaukee Bucks, you have to get ready to go to war. This was one of the toughest losses that we've had so far this season. We were going toe-to-toe with what many would consider one of the best teams in the entire NBA. We kept Giannis in check for the most part. He finished the game with 22 points, 10 rebounds, and 5 assists, but most of that came later in the game. He basically was a non-factor in the first half, so that's a win in itself, right? And if it wasn't for 17 points from Joe Ingles, of all people, somebody who had just come back from injury, and some big dagger threes from Drew Holiday after getting absolutely roasted by Jalen Brunson for the entire game, we might be talking about this as being one of the single best victories that we've had so far this season. I mean, let's just look through some of the numbers. Our guy Julius had another fantastic game, 25 points, 5 assists, and 16 huge rebounds, was an absolute force of nature on both ends of the court and really played a big part in keeping Giannis in check for the most part in this game. We had a couple of subpar performances from the likes of Quinton and Mitchell Robinson, both scoring 6 points combined, but they did contribute with 8 rebounds apiece and played some very intense defense and tried to contribute in other ways. But let's call it out. They definitely played below the level that we usually would expect from them. But on the back end, I mean, RJ's still out with that freak finger injury for this game, so he's not quite back just yet. But we had a huge performance from Emmanuel Quickley, finished with 23 points and 4 rebounds. But this night was all about Mr. Clutch, Mr. Big Shot, Jalen Brunson, finished the game with 44 points, 4 assists, and 7 rebounds, and was absolutely immense. I mean, down the stretch, he was going toe-to-toe with Drew Holiday, who was considered one of the single best one-on-one defenders in the entire NBA, and he was absolutely roasting him. I was listening to a podcast during the week, and they were basically explaining that Jalen Brunson hasn't just been good in these late-game situations, that actually he's number 2 in the entire NBA in clutch scoring, and for the uninitiated, that's scoring within the last 7 minutes of the game. And in those scenarios, he was shooting almost 60% from the field. So he is he's a bona fide all-star. He's an absolute revelation for our Knicks this year, and he really was up for this occasion. I mean, this was a tough game to watch because we had actually been the better team for 3.5 quarters. At one point, we were actually up by 17 points and looked like we were going to cruise to a victory. But I guess that's the sign of a championship level team, that they can just pull a few levers and get themselves back into a game like this. Again, if it wasn't for some big performances from unlikely people like Joe Ingles and Drew Holiday, who had been kept at bay for most of the game, we would be talking about a very different result. But again, it was a hard-fought game. We really competed. We really this was a statement game for us in a different kind of way, because really, I'm a little biased, I'll admit it, but like for 3.5, if not more, out of those 4 quarters, we were the better team against the Milwaukee Bucks. We were the better team. We played harder. We were doing more. And honestly, I think we got a rough whistle in this game. I think that Julius and Jalen and Quick were getting felled pretty consistently without getting any calls. I do think it can be difficult sometimes in an extremely physical game like this when, you know, they always say that the players are just expecting that the refs are consistent. So if they're not going to call it for you, then they'd expect the same for them in return. But really, there was a number of times where, you know, where I was actually shouting at the TV being like, foul! Like, that's a fucking foul! Like, I do think that the Bucks have this hard-nosed defensive identity, but I do think that they get away with a lot more than the average team would in terms of just, like, NFL-style, like, taking out players. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think that anybody that tries to tell you that the NBA is a non-contact sport has never actually watched a game of the NBA. But, I mean, to go from being up 17 in the third quarter and looking like we were going to easily cruise to victory to kind of this championship pedigree on the Bucks side kind of shining through. And ultimately, if it wasn't for those, as I said, those couple of late game heroic moments from Drew Holiday and a very unlikely 17-point performance from Joe Ingles, it would have been a very different result. But instead, the game finished 111-107. And it was, as I mentioned in the open, absolutely excruciating because this can go on the list of six or seven games this season that we really should have won and that it has to now be known as yet another game that got away from us. But we went into the next game against a much lesser opponent, the Indiana Pacers. I mean, yes, it's fair to say that they definitely have surprised some people this year. They've already won 23 games, which is actually what at the time of playing this game, they'd already won 23 games, which was actually what people expected that they would win for the entire season. And considering that we're not even at the All-Star break yet, it says a lot about how well they've played. But I mean, at the end of the day, they're not at our level and they won't be when it's all said and done at the end of the season. So I definitely came into this game feeling pretty confident that we could outclass this team and get back in the winning column. So we had another big boost right before this game too. I found out that RJ was going to be back after missing six games with a finger injury. We had obviously Julius and Jalen up for this as well. And really, that's kind of how it played out. Julius finished the game with a big double-double, 14 points and 16 rebounds. I think he seems to just casually be having these like 16 rebound games now. He's just too big and strong for you to handle. We had a more in line with what we'd expect kind of performance from Mitch as well with 10 points, 9 rebounds, so one rebound shy of a double-double. We had Jalen Brunson following up actually what was his career high night against the Bucks in the previous game with that 44-point game. He followed up that with 34 points, 4 assists, and 3 rebounds. And honestly, he was even being called Mr. Clutch at the end of this game because of the amount of big-time shots, plays, and free throws that he was able to pull off to ensure victory for our Knicks. But honestly, I think one of the stories of this game was RJ's big return. I mean, he played 41 minutes. So he came into this game with no numbers restriction. And he finished the game with 27 points, 4 assists, and 8 rebounds. So a very typical RJ high-level performance. He actually hit, I think, 4 or 5 threes in there as well. So it was good to see him back. You could see that everybody on the Knicks side were delighted to have him back on the court. There's definitely a cohesion and a chemistry that exists when we have our best five out there, which in my mind is, you know, it's got to be Jalen, RJ, Julius, and then with a bit of, like, so, I mean, you could kind of give or take those the final two spots. But as long as that three-headed snake are on the court, you know, good things will happen. And again, this is what happened in this game. I mean, the final score was 119 to 113, but in all actuality, it was actually one of these games that probably we nixed a little bit all over ourselves and made it a little bit harder than it needed to be. We were up by double digits for the majority of the, you know, second half, but then tightened up a little bit. The Pacers actually have been surprisingly the number one fourth quarter scoring team. And they, despite a 12-3 run really late in the game and making us sweat a little bit, our guys were managed to get the job done. I mean, there wasn't really any notable performances that I could point to from the Pacers side, except for Buddy Hield, you know, finished the game with 31 points and 8 rebounds. We had, Benedict Mathurin, actually their rookie. He's been very good this season, finished the game with 20 points and 6 rebounds. But other than that, I mean, we were the better team, and the final score reflected that. So back into the winning column after an absolutely heartbreaking defeat to the Bucks. And then we went into the next game against the Wizards, who are fucking shy this year. And it was actually a Wizards team that didn't have Bradley Beal and a couple of other players that usually play big minutes for them. So I was pretty confident that we could continue our winning ways here. I mean, look, I will admit this is another game where it was probably closer than it needed to be. The final score was 112 to 108 Knicks. And, you know, one of the reasons why the game was closer than expected was that there was 40 points, 7 assists and 7 rebounds given by Kyle Kuzma on the Wizards side. Somebody who I think has, like, significant trade value, and honestly any contender in the NBA would probably look to trade for him, since the Wizards are going nowhere fast. Ex-Nick and the unicorn himself, Kristaps Porzingis, finishing the game with 21 points and 4 rebounds, and honestly hit some big threes down the stretch that actually kind of made me sweat a little bit, and made the game a lot closer in those last, you know, 2.5 minutes or so than we really should have let it get to. It got to a point that, you know, we could have actually let this game slip away, but we didn't, because on our side, Julius Randle had another absolutely phenomenal performance. I mean, you can almost just guarantee at least that he's going to, you know, finish the game with 20 and 10 every single night. The consistency and the intensity and the just brute force that he's played with since game one of this season has been a sight to see, to behold. Finished the game with 23 points, 16 rebounds, yet again another 16 rebound game. And we had RJ in a bit of foul trouble in this game. Obviously a bit of the rust didn't show in his return, but definitely showed a little bit in this game. Actually finished the game, though, with 17 points and 5 rebounds in limited minutes. So I'm pretty happy with that as he continues to make his way back from that finger injury. We had Mitchell Robinson actually in big-time foul trouble in this game, too, but he still finished the game with 10 big rebounds. But again, as the story often shows, you know, we had 34 points from Mr. Clutch, Mr. Big Shot. So 34, 8, and 8. That means that in the last three games, Jalen has had 44 points, 34 points, and 34 points. So, you know, he's playing at an all-NBA level. I mean, it's a 30-point triple-double at any given moment in time. You know, that we can almost expect that from him, that if he's on the court, amazing things will happen. Emmanuel Quickley, who I haven't mentioned, actually should have got more of a shout out in those last couple of games, has been absolutely incredible. I feel like while RJ was out for those six games, Quick was given a much bigger role in the offense and he seems more comfortable, more confident, and more willing to kind of just, you know, was showing flashes of it last year too, but is doing this, you know, 20 points and 5 or 6 rebounds, you know, on a pretty consistent basis at this point, and is a really nice kind of backup to have for RJ, or just to give that additional kind of flexibility in the backcourt so that, you know, our guys can get like momentary rests where needed. Quinton Grimes, I mean, he was a bit of a revelation for us, a really big boost during those games where RJ was out. But honestly, in this three-game stretch that we're covering on this podcast, in this episode, he hasn't really played his best. It was another pretty subpar performance there. 8 points, 2 assists, and 4 rebounds. Kind of basically the baseline that of his stats over these last 3 days, or 3 games. But really, with Quinn, like, as long as he's out there playing good defense, and as long as he's just a threat to score at all times, it seems to open up so many other opportunities for everybody around him. So, you know, I think it's funny because I was having a conversation with Cara the other day, where we were basically I asked her straight up, like, what do you think, you know, if we were really to think about it, would it be, you know, is it Jalen's team or is it Randall's team? And her answer actually was that it's just a team, that it's really a Knicks team that are playing for each other, that it's actually kind of hard to pick one person, that really every single night our guys are kind of, you know, playing as a collective unit, and everybody's on the same page, everybody's competing hard for each other on both ends, and that, like, really that's what has led to so much success, is that it really hasn't been about just one person in particular. I have a slightly different opinion. I think that, like, Jalen Brunson has brought a pedigree and a level of consistency and a level of dependability and just, like, that adult in the room mentality that has been missing over these last few years. I mean, he's the best point guard we've had, you know, in the last, I would say, 10 years. And I think that his consistent performance, especially in the clutch, as mentioned earlier, but also just the fact that if he's on the court, he's a walking, like, you know, 20 to 30 point triple double, that he's going to, you know, he's going to make all the pieces fit. He's going to hold everybody accountable on both ends. He's going to, you know, set the table in the way that a top class point guard is supposed to. And he's going to be that person that says, okay, you need a big shot. You know, everyone on the team in those late game clutch moments, they're deferring to him and they're saying, okay, Jalen, take us home again. And he steps up every single time. So if I had to choose, I would say it has to be Jalen's team. I mean, we're, you know, at, you know, 6 of the last 7 games we've won, and we really should have won that game against the Bucks, sitting at 24-19, you know, 5 games above 500. I mean, that's fantastic, especially when we have a really soft schedule coming up over the next couple of weeks. And I think our guys are going to continue to bash out the wins. But I think that it's been incredible. Like, Jalen has been the difference maker. Jalen has been the catalyst, and, like, he absolutely deserves to get a ton of all-star votes this year. And I do have to admit that, like, I remember listening to a podcast this week where they tried to make the argument that, like, Jalen's high level of play was the reason why Randall, for example, has been playing so well, so consistently this season. I think that was definitely an oversimplification, because although it definitely seems to be Jalen's team, and I mean, Randall will admit, like, he does seem to defer a lot to Jalen, especially in those late game situations. Randall has been a beast in himself. I mean, we've had stretches in this season multiple times where, like, Randall is averaging, you know, over 20 points, over 10 rebounds, and over 5 assists consistently for most of the season, which actually puts him in pretty rarefied air with the likes of LeBron and some of the elite all-time players in the league. So to not acknowledge how far he's come and to not acknowledge the impact that he has had on winning this season would be a disservice to him. And I also think that, I mean, even in this game, to watch him have that posterizing dunk against the Wizards, and, you know, to just watch him in like pure ecstasy and joy and just really in the moment and in flow with his team and with that big smile on his face. I mean, it's night and day compared to all of the craziness that took place last year, which we've talked about extensively on this podcast. So look, we've won the last 6 of 7 games. We have a game tonight. Let's check the schedule one more time. A game tonight against the Pistons. I'm calling that right now. That's going to be a win. We have a game then coming up against the Raptors, the Wizards again, the Hawks, who are an absolute shit show, the Raptors again. So we're like in the next few days, we're playing the Raptors twice. I mean, between now and the 25th of January, we've got some very winnable games coming up. I think that if we could win the vast majority of our games going into the All-Star break and put ourselves like, you know, I know we're going to probably drop a few of these games because, you know, it's still very hard to win in the NBA. But I think if we can get to the All-Star break, maybe 6 or 7 games above 500 will actually be above what was ever expected at this point in the season before the big drop-off, as I touched on in the last episode, where, you know, when everybody comes back after All-Star and there's going to be those teams at the bottom of both conferences that are going to actively be trying to lose games. And then we can really put our foot on the accelerator and have a bigger regular season than anyone would have expected, apart from us, of course, the Knicks faithful. And yeah, let's see what happens. But couldn't be happier to be a Knicks fan. I'm very, very happy with how we've played. I mean, I've listened to a lot of podcasts in the last week or two where people are finally acknowledging that like the Knicks are to be taken seriously, that they're a bona fide playoff team this year, and that they may actually upset and hurt some feelings in the playoffs. I mean, I've been saying that for a couple of weeks now, but it's good to see that we're getting, you know, that recognition that we deserve. Anyways, so let's see how we get on tonight and Monday night. But when we come back, I'm going to go on a little bit of a ranty rant about the power of a daily gratitude practice and the impact that it can have on your life and your kind of mindset, you know, overall going forward. So buckle up and I'll be back shortly. And we're back. So apologies for doubling up on the buckle up transition in this episode. I guess I was just too excited to talk about our next topic, which is the power of having a daily gratitude practice and the impact it can have kind of even just on your mindset and your perspective on a daily basis. I guess a bit of a life update to give this a bit more context. I mean, as it's been kind of hinted at in prior episodes, I have had a pretty big circumstantial change in terms of my professional life. There is a new chapter that's beginning for me in March that I will be sharing with you guys, but I'm just not quite ready to talk about it just yet. But because of this transition period that I'm in, it basically has put me in this in-between space where I finished up for kind of an early Christmas celebration for the first couple of weeks of December. Then a lot of shit went down and my work circumstances changed. And yeah, now we've created this new incredible opportunity that I'm going to step into a couple of weeks after the New York trip. But as a result, I didn't realize that, you know, when I walked out of the office, you know, towards the end of November, that literally, you know, from the 28th, 29th of November to mid-March, when this new chapter starts, that I will have this space, you know, this transition period. And really, it comes down to a few things. Like, I think that as cheesy as it sounds, like, I know how fortunate I am to have this gap during this transition, where I can afford to focus on the podcast, focus on self-care, focus on a 3-week trip to New York. I mean, I know how it sounds, but I'm proud of myself. You know, I've worked really hard to get into this place where, you know, creating enough stability financially and otherwise, so that I could weather the storm in situations like this is exactly why you work so hard, you know. And I do think that there's one of these cheesy sayings is like, you know, 5 years ago you prayed for what you have now, and so be grateful. And I do think that that's something I spend a lot of time thinking about during my daily morning meditations. I mean, I just think that, as another, to use another kind of cheesy phrase that I've heard, it's like, it's very hard to be, you know, grateful and envious at the same time, or, you know, grateful and angry at the same time. If you're really kind of sitting in that feeling of true gratitude that you are alive, you are healthy, that the world and the universe is conspiring to, I guess, get you on that path towards, or keep you on that path towards everything that you're striving for, that your financial circumstances and all of the hard work that you've done to create the stability in your life that you do have means that you can actually like enjoy this transition period and not you know, not be under the kind of stress that you would be under if you absolutely like could not afford to essentially have a full-time job for 4 months, you know. Like, it's I know how it sounds, and I'm trying to talk about it in a way that will add value, and that it's not just like, look at me, look how great this is, but like, fuck it, like, I really have worked hard to get to this place. And I think that, you know, one of the hardest things for me right now is that, like, I, as I've talked about in previous episodes, like, I do tie a lot of my identity and a lot of my self-worth to my level of overall productivity and execution and like achieving on a regular basis. As much as I try to stop that, like, the conditioning is there. So like, as fortunate as I feel, and as much time as I sit in that gratitude frequency every day, it still feels weird. I mean, like, even when you get up and you're super disciplined and you drink your water and you do your meditation and you do your journaling and you read your book and you have a nice breakfast and go to the gym, like, I'm kind of in this position now where I get home at like 2 or 3 o'clock in the day and I'm like, okay, so fucking what now? You know, like, so, and that feels weird. That feels like I'm kind of not doing enough, or that I should be doing more, more importantly. But I mean, I think I'm really having to use this time, or I have at least, like, there's people in my inner circle that have really implored me to use this time to actually rest, to actually recharge, to actually just commit, like, to all of the things I've been doing from a self-care perspective, and to really use this time to prime myself so that when mid-March comes along, after the incredible trip that we have lined up going to New York for 3 weeks in February, like, when the mid-March new chapter starts, that I'll be primed and ready to contribute at my absolute best, you know, from day one. I mean, this episode, or this kind of segment of the episode, isn't just like for me to sit here and tell you how great I am. It's been hard, in ways that are quite complex and multi-layered, and like, it's been a lot for me emotionally to kind of make peace with my previous chapter ending, and like, to create the space that is needed to allow all of these new blessings and all of the things that will come along with me, you know, being the best version of myself that I need to be to step into this new chapter with dignity and momentum, and kind of that feeling of, you know, true confidence, you know, on my side. It's hard. Like, it's been pretty heavy, and there's been days where I felt like, as crazy as it sounds, like, where I felt like a complete failure, that like, that I gave a lot of my heart and my soul to, you know, some of these projects that are outside of this podcast, and that they didn't work out, you know, that it didn't go to plan, that circumstances changed quickly, and that, you know, I'm fortunate that, like, I'm going to be able to kind of go from that last, you know, attempt at something bigger, and like that attempt of like professional success straight into this next chapter. But like, some people weren't as fortunate, and it's been really hard for me as an empath not to take on, you know, some of that, you know, that's happening around me with people that I care so deeply about. But like, this is kind of that thing where like, I do have to make a conscious effort to, you know, to just stay disciplined, to stay consistent with my self-care practice, to really take the time every single morning to realize just how fortunate I really am, you know, like. And I think that that's kind of just what I wanted to get to with this episode, is just to kind of implore you to do the same, regardless of your circumstances. I mean, we all have shit going on, you know, like, life is hard. And whenever you're going through this like purple patch where things are great and the sun is shining and everything just seems to be going your way, fucking savor that shit, because like, there's always going to be bumps in the road. There's always going to be challenges. There's always going to be things that you will eventually have to face and overcome. And like, in any of those moments of joy and just like that, like full body chills, like that full body ecstasy moment, you know, when you really have a great workout, or you like, you have an unbelievable catch up with a friend, or you're spending some amazing quality time with the people that you deeply care about, like, and you have that sense of, oh my God, all is right in the world, that true sense of joy, like, fucking hold on to that shit and protect it at all costs, because your circumstances can change quick. And you know, I really do think that it's important that we keep that kind of at the forefront of our mind, that, you know, I mean, not to just be so simplistic about it, but like, things could always be worse, and they may well turn out to be, and there's gonna be adversity, we're gonna face that shit at some point. So I guess I hope there's some value here. I just think that one of the best things that I've been able to do during this transition period is actually be super intentional with spending like 5 of my 20 minutes meditation in the morning just literally sitting there and saying, fuck me, I am so fortunate to be in the position I am. I'm happy, I'm healthy, there's like, my best days are ahead of me. Like, I have created this, you know, pathway to the next big chapter of my life. Like, it was my action, it was my consistency, it was creating that space for that door to open that actually ultimately led it to opening. Like, I have to, it's like, it's one of those things, it's like it's a balance between, you know, having the awareness of like how small of a role we play in this like vast universe that we exist within, but also like realizing the power that you have to actually like affect your circumstances. I don't know if you've realized or if you've noticed lately, if you're following me on Instagram, I've been sharing more of those kind of pictures from like the space stations and things like that, because for whatever reason they're resonating super deeply with me right now, because it really is, it's a representation of that, this vast world of energy that we're existing within, and that like, that everything is energy, everything is matter, that we probably have more of an ability to bend these circumstances to our will than we even fucking realize. And that, you know, I mean, we'll talk about it in later episodes, but I mean, with this new chapter I'm about to step into, it's at the level of the fireplace story in terms of me setting an intention in the universe taking the action towards making that happen, creating the space for that momentum to accrue, and then ultimately stepping into the outcome that I had already tied to my initial intention. It's all fucking connected. And yes, you know, it's that famous Steve Jobs quote, like, you can't join the dots looking forward, you can only join them looking back. But I guess that's the final kind of point on this, is like, you have to be able to at least stay present enough on a daily, hourly, fucking even minute by minute basis, so that when the dots eventually do join up, when the stars eventually do align, that you'll be able to look back and say, that was the moment. That was the moment that everything changed. That was the moment, because I stayed, my energy stayed open. I stayed grateful. I stayed at a high frequency that allows these things to conspire for you. I did that. And now it's coming back to me tenfold. And again, I know it sounds a little bit like funky, or a little bit kind of, you know, woo-woo. I hate that word, but, you know, like, I get it. But like, I can point to so many very specific examples of when I've kind of had my back against the wall in a real way, and through discipline and routine and meditation and a daily, like, taking that time every single day, regardless of the shit show going on around you, to realize just how fucking fortunate you are, and keeping at that high frequency while everything else might be burning and like falling down around you, that resilience and that grit and that bounce back ability, that tenacity to attack the circumstances that you're in order to change and improve those very circumstances, that ultimately those are the people who win, right? Those are the people that say, well, my back was against the wall, I didn't know what I was going to do, but I fucking I hunkered down and I figured that shit out, and I stayed, I executed with grace, and I was still kind to people, and I was kind to myself, more importantly, through the whole process. And now I can look back and say, yes, there were parts of that fucking sucked. But as I always say, sometimes you just have to put the blinkers on, keep moving forward, and trust that things are working out exactly as they should. And that will be, we'll end this podcast on that note. And let's hope that we can continue these winning ways. And until next time, guys, I hope that had some value. And hope you have a great rest of the day, great rest of your week. And again, like I said, until next time, let's go Knicks!